Only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning. You have tuned in to Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for he whom we cannot mention. And we have kind of an open line, lots of things to talk about this morning. So if you want to participate in the show, the number to call is 458-8255-458-TALK. And with that, some local issues here. The City Council is going to be considering an Ordinance 6323, that would put some restrictions on non-permanent signs. And by non-permanent signs, they're responding to, I would imagine, all of the political campaign signs that pop up every year about this time of year. And some people get after it a little early. Others leave their signs up a little late. And so they're trying to do something about that. I think it is a poor idea. I can understand the signs do kind of clutter up the street, but they're really, fundamentally, it is a property owner's right to speak. This is different than the state regulation that is already in place where you can't put signs up on the within the right-of-way of a public highway. A state-maintained highway, to clarify for the state. That's different. You want to keep the signs out of the right-of-way. You don't want to be keeping a traffic sight distance. They can be hazardous if they're blocking the an upcoming intersection or something like that. But this is different. They're just talking in general terms about signs. And, of course, one repercussion from that, you would notice that their realtors put up signs on properties that are for sale, and sometimes it takes months, even years, for a sale to go through. And that is an inexpensive way for property owners and realtors to advertise that a property is for sale. And that would, I don't think that they have thought about those repercussions. But a bigger deal is this restriction, I guess, on our property owner's fundamental right to speak. And also, it with all of the other avenues for advertising, that who is paying for that is less conspicuous, and we've got a lot of money coming in from out of state, really, I think, dark money organizations that are trying to influence Alaska's politics. And I appreciate, actually, the signs being up. It shows who is getting local support, and that's really what counts the most. We can't get all the information, or we get too much information, too much misinformation, etc. But when you see a sign in somebody's yard, or even these 4x8 signs in along the more traveled routes that might be for some commercial business letting them put up their sign. That shows that a candidate has local support, and that's very important for the voters, and it also is a reminder that an election is coming up, and that's one way to get the vote out. So I think it's a misguided effort. It will be up on the agenda for the city council meeting this evening, and we should send them an email between now and then if you can't make it down to the city council meeting, or stop by City Hall this evening and let them know that you're opposed to it and why. And I get it. I understand the frustration with people. I'm that way too. But this is not the correct response to a problem. And it'll just make it more difficult for especially local candidates who might not have a whole lot of money to run and get their name out to the population. But more important, it is a right to speak, and it does more signs. It does show local enthusiasm for either candidate. So we should worry about something else. Go down and put that up on the put that before the assembly. Register your objection to them trying to restrict temporary signs, I think they call them. All right, so what else? There's some other things going on. The Grange Hall has art gallery. Grange Hall is in North Pole. They have a art gallery, and they do art shows every Friday night. And this month, kind of a special show. Local artist Ray Bunnell, I think many people are familiar with Mr. Bunnell's work, but if you're not, this is an opportunity. He does pen and ink, black and white drawings. And his show this month is on historic churches. And it's a really good, interesting display, and just from across the state. And I really encourage everyone to go out Friday night, and that's from 5:30 to 8 at the North Pole Grange Hall, in a really especially good show with a really accomplished artist who has just recorded a lot of local and state history in his drawings. And it's really a good show. You'll be glad that you went out there to see it. And he has a couple of books of his work that are worth having. They're a good coffee table book, but they're also just a good history of Alaska. I just really appreciate his work, and encourage everyone to come out to that show this Friday evening. And we will be out at the Grange this evening, the Home on the Grange. We're just going to be talking about some of Alaska history and just other things that come up. So if you are in the area or you want to get involved with that, drive out to North Pole, to the North Pole Grange, and this evening is from 7 to 8. And then the third Friday art show is Fridays from 5:30 to 7. Let's see. So this is an open line. You'll be helping me out if you call in. Let me know what's on your mind. Otherwise, we're going to go down the list here and see if we can find something that sparks people's interest, and we'll get some conversation going. So there's been a lot of talk, a lot of really good, fascinating work that's on the horizon, looking good for Alaska. We will, coming up on quarter past the hour, we will take a short break for that, and stay with us. We'll be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, this is Kevin, owner of Thermalite Glass Manufacturing here at Fairbanks. Please don't let an inefficient, foggy house window ruin your view this summer or steal your heat in the winter, especially if you're a do-it-yourselfer looking to save money. Thermalite sells locally manufactured double and triple pane glass units to contractors as well as homeowners. There's options for full service all the way to doing the whole job yourself, with folks here ready to assist. Stop by our plant on 1225 Wells Street or call 457-2089 to get started.
Imagine a job where your evenings and weekends are yours. Fastenal is hiring in Fairbanks, part-time or full-time, with a Monday through Friday 8 to 5 schedule. Get competitive pay, full benefits, and real career growth with training, mentorship, and room to rise. No experience is needed. Backed by a Fortune 500 company with global reach, this is more than just a job. It's your path forward. Family time, flexibility, and a future you can count on. Apply now at Fastenal.com and start building something bigger.
The roads you ride aren't always easy, and they're always changing. For those kinds of roads, you need the flexibility of Firestone Destination Highway, all-terrain, and mud tires. Designed for aggressive off-road performance without sacrificing street respectability, quiet, and comfort. Drive somewhere you've never thought possible. Go there with the Firestone Destination family of tires on your light truck, SUV, and CUV. Buy yours at GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance for isolated showers today, otherwise overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 60, southwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Slight chance for isolated showers tonight, lows dip down to about 45, overcast skies. Highs around 63, tomorrow more clouds than sun. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and we have open mic. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. Hopefully, we'll get some phone calls and find out what you're interested in. So do me a favor, give us a call at 458-8255, and you can participate in the program. So moving on, we were talking about some development projects that are moving forward. I think we have an exciting couple of decades in Alaska with projects that are in the work. We're having an oil field renaissance on the North Slope. The attention has been the depleting gas supply in the Cook Inlet area, and that's something we got to be thinking about. But things are really looking promising in the North Slope. We've got a couple of projects that are in the works right now. PICA is ahead of schedule on their work on, or excuse me, PICA Santos is ahead of schedule on their work on the PICA field. They're anticipating that that should come online in the first quarter of 26, which is a few months ahead of what they had originally estimated. So that's really good news. And Willow is moving forward with their Willow project. That's a little further down the road. They're just, well, they have been working on, but they have got more development work to do, and that should be coming online in probably 2029, 2030, somewhere in that area. And that is going to, while they're developing the projects, that's providing a lot of employment, and it will eventually help the state out when we start getting more royalty income off of those oil fields. And then another one, there's just a story in the news. I've got to find my note here. Outfit called Narwhal Petroleum is planning to do some exploratory drilling in Harrison Bay. Harrison Bay is just about 30 or 40 miles west of Nuiqsut. It's between Nuiqsut and Uktiavik, and it's an offshore prospect, but it's near shore, and they're planning to drill, set up onshore and do some extended reach drilling out into Harrison Bay. And that Harrison Bay was the project that Shell Oil Company was working on. They they had drilled further off the shore and didn't come up with commercial quality quantities out there. And so they pulled out, and Narwhal has taken over those leases, and they are going to be starting this winter doing some exploratory drilling up there. There seems to be a pretty lucrative project. And of course, the They're moving forward on the Alaska gas pipeline. There was a story in the I think it was Reuters was reporting that Japan has hired Wood Mackenzie to evaluate whether it would be in Japan's economic interest to at least get some contracts or participate in the Alaska Gas Line project. And we do have calls, so let's go to the phone.
Hey, this is Thomas Kennedy.
Thomas Kennedy, I remember you. How are you doing?
Hey, I have a little bit of a, it's not quite a gripe, but just something that I think that, and I guess I could try to reach Dunleavy and see if he could do it, but is there a way that people can get the folks, the Mayos, that run the Spinach Creek carrot farm? You know, they run other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But could they get, like, some of the starting farmers to learn how they do it? I don't know if you're aware of what kind of shortage is there for their carrots, but it's crazy. I don't know if you've had the Spinach Creek carrots, but they're probably some of the best carrots in the world, and I'm not kidding.
Right, yes. I haven't had Spinach Creek carrots, but I've grown my own for several years, and they are dessert-quality carrots. They are really quite a bit better than sweeter than you can get off the store.
So what happens is they've had two, and I've got a plane going by. We had a lot of plane action earlier. But we had two droppings, you know, when they drop their carrots by the pallets over to the co-op.
Mm-hmm.
They're cleaned out within an hour. They're all gone. Everybody, you know, it's on Facebook, everybody buys them all. It's just 1 hour and they're gone.
Yep.
And, you know, Will Mayo's getting older. He's just a wonderful guy. If we're going to have some sustainability, I think there's a family down in Palmer that raises carrots too, but we need to really, like, artists and residents or give those folks some extra, some, you know, give them some teaching, you know, capabilities or teaching things so that they can kind of spread their technology. You know, I think the Dinkles raise big cabbages down in Palmer.
Yep.
But just get some of these people that are like, really amazing growers, you know, these world-class growers, some support so that they can kind of carry on and pass it on.
Yes, I agree. And actually, the Dunleavy administration is trying to do something about that. He has an executive order to elevate the Division of Agriculture within DNR to its own separate department, that it would have cabinet-level attention and also just a little bit more streamlined decision-making process. So he has published that executive order. I forget the name of it. We had a chance to consider that during the special session, and the legislative leadership decided against even considering that. Didn't even get introduced.
Yeah.
And so now there's going to be, I think, a legal battle over that. The governor's position is that, well, we published it. You had 60 days to decide. If you didn't want to do that, you did nothing, so we're moving forward.
Yep.
And the legislators' counterargument to that is that, well, now, wait a minute. They were talking about 60 days during a regular session at the Constitutional Convention. And the actual language in the amendment is not clear. It just says if there's a shorter session, they have to do it within that session that has been called. So they have, well, 90 days by statute during a regular session, or 120 days by constitution during a regular session. Well, no, they would have 60 days, during a regular session. But a special session is a session. And I personally don't see any reason not to move forward. Why hold it up? It is something that we certainly could have considered. And if the legislature still doesn't want to do that, if they want their own statute, well, they can introduce one and do it. But if the governor wants to move forward with something, it doesn't make sense for the legislature to block that just by sitting on their hands and doing nothing.
Especially when it's such, you know, I mean, they only have 10 acres, and they make carrots, you know, for the whole state. It wouldn't take much to just take these groups and give them the platform where they can really work with other folks to understand the technology.
Yep. And there is a co-op farm out in the same neck of the woods. I'm trying to remember the name of it.
There's Calypso.
Calypso Farms. Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, that's an option, but I agree. This is something that we need to pay more attention to, because we can get pretty good vegetables, and actually people, well, figured it out. No, we have long known how to store vegetables in Alaska. I have actually two friends that have built root cellars. One of them incorporated that into the design layout of their home as they were building it, and another friend of mine just found a 8-foot culvert. And so he dug a hole, stuck that culvert in the ground, put up some shelves, and he is able to keep vegetables virtually all year long. He's, you know, even in the summer, last year's vegetables, they're getting a little soft by then, but it works remarkably well.
Yeah.
And the whole theory behind that is you keep it, I believe it's at 34 degrees, and you got to control the humidity, and there's a few other things, but it can be done.
Yeah.
And we should be doing that, because we have kind of a food security challenge in that the grocery stores typically only keep a few days' worth of perishables in stock, if you will. And as long as the ships keep coming in, that works just fine. But if there would be some disruption to that, we would be in a bit of a pickle.
It'd get bouncy.
Yep.
It'd get bouncy.
Yep.
You know, the other thing, you know, I know the freeze-dried technology has really advanced.
Yes.
But, you know, one of the things, having more of a connection with the rural areas on setting up freeze dryers, not only locally in town, so we can, you know, process extra food, you know, kind of like the food that they get in big, huge amounts, but also to, how would you say, when they get extra food, where it may go to waste, if they have, like, some hubs, you know, Glean at some of the other places, if they have some large commercial freeze dryers, they can, how would you say, freeze dry some of their traditional foods and ship them into the Nally Center and some of those places where the elders really have a cultural miss. You know, they miss their traditional indigenous foods.
Yes, definitely. Definitely something to focus on. And just the culture that goes along with it. People are producing something on their own, and that kind of changes your whole outlook on life.
I think
it was Thomas Jefferson thought that agriculture was essential to maintaining a democratic society.
Yep.
Because people are more independent. And when you have something to do, it's better than sitting around waiting for somebody to send you a check.
Yep.
So it is really an important thing, and I'm glad that the Dunleavy administration is moving forward on that. And when the time comes for the legislature to decide whether to challenge that in court, I think we have better things to challenge than that particular particular move.
I think, you know, the freeze dryer technology that Harvest Right has got going too. It could be very easy for Dunleavy administration to look at what can we do for a partnership to get freeze dryers in the hands of our Alaskans.
Yep.
And if they did that, you know, like a freeze dryer, if you buy it retail, is $3,500.
Yep.
But if you buy it at wholesale at the price that's their wholesale price,
right,
they're only $1,500.
Oh.
And I think people would like that.
Yeah. Well, I hear the music in the background. That means the satellites coming overhead. It's going to take over the program. We got to take some time for some national news and for some weather and some words from our sponsors. But if you want to hang on, we will be back in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
And we'll take it from there. You're listening to KFAR Problem Corner, and stay with us.
coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. The Supreme Court clearing the way for federal agents to conduct sweeping immigration operations for now in Los Angeles. The justice is lifting a restraining order from a judge who found patrols were conducting indiscriminate arrests in L.A. Justice Sonia Sotomayor saying in dissent, people have been grabbed, thrown to the ground, and handcuffed because of their looks and accents. At least 6 people are dead, 12 injured after a shooting on a bus in Jerusalem this morning. Israeli officials say 2 Palestinian attackers opened fire during the morning rush hour. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, speaking through translation, vowing to pursue the attackers and hold them responsible.
We are now in pursuit, sieging the villages from which the murderers came. And we will get everyone who helped them, everyone who sent them, and we will carry out even tougher measures.
This happened in a bus station in the outskirts of Jerusalem, of course, as the war with Hamas rages on. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports Dr. Randy Tranny, the Matanuska Susitna Borough School District Superintendent, has been named the 2026 Alaska Superintendent of the Year. The Alaska Superintendents Association, ASA, said Tranny was recognized for his vision and commitment to educational excellence. Dr. Tranny's visionary goals have inspired significant improvements in student outcomes, graduation rates, AP production rates, and the development of a robust CTE program, MSBSD School Board President Catherine McCollum said. Tranny said he was surprised that he received the honor and credits his colleagues in the district. It literally takes thousands of employees to pull off the kind of growth that we've seen in academic achievement, Tranny stated. And I know that's why I received the award. It's because of the remarkable growth that we've seen in the MATSU. And so this is not an award for Randy Tranny. This is an award for all of the employees. He said he plans to continue working on his goals for the school district, which includes reaching a 100% graduation rate.
Online at KFAR60.com.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
70 hours. That's the average time between each gun suicide in Alaska. That's less than 3 days. Help more Alaskans live longer by keeping your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Storing guns safely is an important way to help prevent deaths of children, teens, or anyone in a difficult situation. If you or someone you know is in crisis, contact the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline by calling or texting 988. This message is sponsored by the Alaska Division of Behavioral Health, aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association, and this station.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
And streaming live at KFARradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning, filling in for He Who Cannot Be Named, is Mike Prox. And we have an open line. If you want to join the program, give us a call at 458-8255, and that's 458-TALK. And Tom Kennedy stayed with us. We were talking about vegetables and farming. And
one thing that I would like to jump into, with the Trump administration, you know, he's really looking at, this big, huge federal enclosure of all the land. And he's tried to do stuff, and he's kind of been blocked on the congressional level from that end, you know, with a lot of folks saying, well, all the backcountry will be gone. Mm-hmm. But I sure think it would be just an opportune time for folks to look at opening up some federal land for homesteading, maybe just home sites, you know, like a 10-acre home site thing, mm-hmm. that, you know, federal land or state land, folks could go through and buy it, but if they prove up and improve it and you know, make it so it's reasonable, that they could actually, you know, maybe get some benefits to get it for a reduced rate.
Not a bad idea. I haven't thought about the federal homesteading program or whatever, but Alaska has a lot of state land.
Sure.
That we should focus on getting that into private hands. And the administration has done a pretty good job with that, but there's a whole lot more that we could do. And something good, recent news, Congressman Begich got a provision in through the House to nullify or rescind the BLM's revision of the Middle Yukon Land Management Plan. Well, it's passed the House. Hopefully it'll go through the Senate. But that land management plan effectively locked up a lot of Alaska north of the Yukon, that the pipeline corridor is still mostly BLM land, and they put in restrictions that prevent getting off that corridor and going to other things. The big case in point, the Ambler Road, which was something that was guaranteed, let's see, I believe that was in the Alaska National Interest Lands Act, and that is accessing, that road would access the Ambler Mining District.
Sure.
And they've been trying for 50 years to get that open. And now this removes one more roadblock to that, so that makes that a lot more probable. So that's good.
Yep. Hey, last thing before I go.
Yep.
I've kind of been kind of complaining about this or that, but I know GVA, you know, with Aurora Energy is trying their best to reduce the cost of the kiln drying birch, but $500 a cord, that's pretty expensive.
That is. And I am not quite sure. I heard about that, well, just a couple of weeks ago. In fact, I believe it was on this show. Maybe it was even Tom Kennedy who mentioned it. I don't remember, but need to check into that. I've heard that they've been having trouble, like everyone else, getting people to work there. I don't know. They had arrangements to get birch delivered, which was working pretty good, I thought. Made some other areas more accessible. I'm not sure what's going on out there, but thank you for reminding me. I'll maybe give them a call and see what's going on, because that is
They're outstanding folks. They're really good folks there. The folks that are working there are just great.
Yep.
It's just that, you know, we need to look at, you know, doing some other, you know, I think the Wood Brothers do something like that out north.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to support our local wood industries, just because, you know, those elements are safety measures.
Yep.
You know, just like everything else, it's good to have redundant safety measures.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll let you go.
All right, very good. Thank you for calling. Yes, and we did. I was working on preserving, I guess, wood stoves. The EPA, and I think it is true that, I don't know that PM 2.5 is a problem, but it's been defined as a problem. And the work that they've done says most of that particulate pollution comes from wood stoves. And we were working on a project to get electrostatic precipitators approved. They really worked good as far as reducing the particulate pollution. We ran into some snags. The EPA testing is different than the testing that they do in Europe. And then we have to get underwriting approval to make the wood stove manufacturers happy so that they can test them on their stoves, and the insurance companies happy. That kind of came to a halt a couple of years ago, but the EPA administrator was up here and he brought up the PM 2.5 problem. So we're kind of pursuing that again, see if we can get it, get their attention and get some relief for the air quality problems, because wood heat is still a very viable way to heat your home in the interior. It and it has some long-term benefits. It's carbon neutral in that the trees absorb carbon as they're grown. And if you harvest them rather than burn them, you're going to at least get the same carbon back out. And that works good from that aspect. But other is it keeps the wood industry, firewood industry going in Alaska. And I enjoy heating with wood. So we're going to try and see if we can get something going with the EPA and get some relief on that. That would be great. And I was really glad to see that the EPA administrator brought it up, and that was even before I had to remind him. So that's encouraging. We'll see what happens with that. And then I just saw a news article about some other outfit that has genetically modified poplar trees. And it makes them grow denser. It was a very interesting article. I guess proof of concept that at least works in a greenhouse. And they're now the next step is to try that out in the real world. And I think that's an opportunity for Alaska because poplar trees grow very well in the interior. So another opportunity for us. All kinds of things to look forward to. There was a blurb on the news about immigration. Did they adopt a policy? Well, the school board adopted a policy that they are going to protect students. And I'm not sure just what was behind all of that. Because the school district, well, by state law, you have to have some proof. Actually, proof of birth, the first time you enroll your children into the school. So they're already checking on that. I don't think it is a huge problem. You never know. But school districts should be following up on that. And then also there's, especially on the national news, there is a lot of consternation about these ICE raids on different businesses. And some fairly large businesses got raided. But there is a federal law in place that before a company can hire an individual, they have to provide proof of citizenship. And when I was involved with that, you had to have a copy of the Social Security card and then another form of government-issued ID, be that a license, driver's license or state ID card or what have you. So businesses are supposed to be keeping track of citizenship status. And I don't know, I know that was something we could get in trouble for if we didn't collect the IDs and send them into the government. So it is something. I don't know. The reports are always dire, for lack of a better word. And we do, or I do at any rate, I welcome legal immigrants into this country. Our country was built by immigrants right from the start. And they provide a lot of labor support. We are having a hard time filling jobs. There has always been a hard time in the agriculture industry to get people to work, harvesting vegetables and et cetera. So I welcome legal immigrants. But it should be legal immigrants, and we should enforce those laws. Because if you're not enforcing your border protection laws, you arguably don't even have a country. So with that rant, we're going to take a break and listen to some weather and some words from our sponsors. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, and we will be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Our smile, it says it all. So take care of that smile without breaking the bank at Affordable Dental Care. It's dental care for the entire family. New patient exams, including full mouth x-rays for cash price patients, starting at just $79. Crowns as low as $900 and implants for less than $3,000. They're also an in-network provider for a long list of dental plans. They also offer payment plans and accept care credit. Downtown on 14th Avenue. Call 374-3888 or online at affordabledentalcare.com.
No one needs to tell you when your sewer line or septic system is broken, it's a mountain of a problem. Move that mountain with Moving Mountains Excavation and General Contracting. Complete sewer and septic system installations, new builds, and repairs. The experience and the equipment to get your job done. On time, on budget. Call for your free quote. Moving Mountains Excavation and General Contracting. Move your mountain. Call Scott and Julie at 907-590-4977.
When it comes to promoting your business, nothing works better than local radio. And the best way to do that is with our 50-50 Friday promotion, only from the radio station. It's 50-50 Friday, where your business and event are featured every hour, 24 hours a day, for an entire week on not one, but eight of the top radio stations in Fairbanks, reaching thousands and thousands of people. Plus a second week, where we offer your business 100 radio ads to use as you wish. 50-50 Friday offers more than $11,000 in radio promotion to your business. It's 2 weeks of constant promotion. So what does it cost? Only some gift certificates, which we offer on all of our websites on Friday at 50% off. So promote your store, shop, or business with help from 50-50 Friday and the radio station. But hurry, as our popular 50-50 Friday event fills up quick. Call the radio station today and ask about promoting your business or event on 50-50 Friday, only from the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway. Toyotomi oil heaters have warmed interior Alaska homes for decades. Efficient, quiet, and reliable. Buy yours today. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR weather.
Daytime highs approaching 60 today under overcast skies with a slight chance for isolated rain showers. Winds out of the southwest around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Slight chance for isolated rain showers. Lows dip down to about 45. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
And streaming live at KFARradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and it is an open line if you want to call in, participate in the show. Again, the number to call is 458-8255, and that is 458-TALK. And we have talked about agriculture, some events. Let's see, down my list here. I just saw an article that U.S. antimony is, they have received, apparently, their exploration permit for antimony, mining antimony up on Ester Dome. And that's a real interesting development. Antimony is a strategic mineral, and the U.S. has been in short supply of antimony. And most of that is coming out of China, is my understanding. And the price of antimony swings wildly, but that there are several deposits in the interior area that people are looking at. And one of them is this mine up on Ester Dome. And at this point, it's an exploratory permit. And if they have to, or if they do find minerals that are worth going forward with, there will be some more environmental evaluation and et cetera, and getting a permit for further development on that. But that's interesting. And Ester Dome also has there's a lot of people think that there is a pretty sizable gold deposit on Ester Dome and a few other of the domes around Fairbanks. And there is some interest in exploring those And, of course, we have come up with extra populations, so I'm sure there's going to be some discussion about that. But right now it's an exploratory permit and another good news for Fairbanks. We have a phone call. Good morning. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Good morning. My name is the same as yours, Mike. I know we're about out of time, but I'm hoping some knowledgeable person could call in and speak about the school district denying access to their buildings to law enforcement agencies such as ICE or any other law enforcement agency. And I'll hang up and see if we get any volunteers.
Well, that'll be good. Yes, I don't know all of the details. If the school district would be denying access, that would be kind of a serious thing. Because, well, if nothing else, it risks the federal funding to the schools, and. Well, I don't know. It hasn't been a big deal in Fairbanks, and all we're reacting to is national news stories of raids, and I think that they are going on reasonable suspicion of something. They get reports from companies or whatever that are hiring undocumented workers. I think that's the term that we have now. And I would expect the same thing, that, you know, unfortunately the government is looking at records and data and they have access to that. But I would assume that they're not going to just knock on the door and run through the schools and see if they can find somebody. That seems pretty extreme. I have a little bit of hesitation to just swallow those national reports. It is something that is difficult. Like I say, the country doesn't, you're not a country unless you have borders. And we do need to do some reform to make obtaining at least work permits and whatnot a lot easier. There's just lots of backup, and that's causing problems as well. So they should follow due process. I agree with that, but it is something that we do need to keep track of. We have another call. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Randy.
Randy.
Yeah, as far as that other caller that just called in about the ICE not being able to go into the schools, I don't have the answer. I don't know, but I do remember reading something about that just recently. But anyway, I was calling about something else. I recently received my brand new passport, U.S. passport, for the first time since not having one since in the 90s was when I last had a passport, and I've been meaning to get one all these years, and I finally decided to stop procrastinating, and I got one. Now, the last time I went international was in 2005. I walked across the border from California into Mexico. It was at an official entry point. You know, there was a wall there, but there was this, like a tunnel or a place where you go in and just come in and out. And no one asked for my ID or anything. I just walked in. I was with my dad. I was paying for him to get a trip to go to Mexicali so that he could get some cheap dentures. And they did a real good job, by the way. And anyway, my dad just walked on through and walked on the streets in Mexicali. And then we later walked on out and came back the next day after the dentures were ready or whatever. And then I also saw the Mexican people. They were walking through the same portway in and out. And I didn't see anyone checking for anything. I don't know if that's been changed. Now, I guess it's maybe different for road traffic. You know, I've seen movies of the big stop stations at the border where cars go in and get checked and all that sort of stuff. Do you know the current status? Can you still walk into Mexico, and can Mexicans walk out through an official port? You still there? Uh-oh. Hello, dear. Hello, hello. Hello? Hey, I hear me on the radio, but I don't hear Mike. Oh, well, I guess I better hang.
There we go.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
He doesn't know which button to push.
Oh, okay. I had to turn my radio on to see if I was even on. I heard myself, but I didn't hear anything else.
Yeah, I didn't press the right button there.
Did you hear me,
yep,
by the way,
I did.
My big spiel?
Yep, you were talking about border crossing.
Yeah.
20 years ago, might even be more than that now, but it was pretty much open at the checkpoint, a few of the checkpoints at any rate, the big ones between San Diego and Tijuana, and there was just a lot of people. But there was some checking because while I was down there, it was interesting. About half hour before sundown, you'd see the ladders starting to be set up on the wall on the Mexican side and people bailing over the wall. So they do check somewhat. Mm-hmm. But there is a very serious problem of drugs being brought into our country. And a lot of those, from what I have been able to determine, most of that is being routed through Mexico. And so I would imagine that they are being a bit more persnickety about checking vehicles and checking for correct paperwork, if you will. Now, in fact, it's good that you got your passport, because even to go through Canada now, you need a passport. So that used to be pretty much an open border, but Canada is getting more serious about that, so that's something that's worth taking care of. And this whole border control thing is something that we do have to pay attention to, because even in Alaska, we've gotten quite a few reports lately of people smuggling drugs clear into Alaska. And as I say, from what I understand from the state troopers, is that a lot of that, or most of it, is routed through Mexico. And then once it gets into the country, then it is much more difficult to keep track of. So that's definitely something we got to work at. Yep.
Okay, well, thank you, Mike.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye.
Yes. So, yes, we got a few more minutes left. We did talk about the ICE, Immigrations, Customs and Immigrations Service. Are they enforcing these laws too aggressively? I don't know. I will withhold an opinion on that because it's national news and you have to take everything that you hear with a grain of salt and check it out as much as you can. But if the school district is intending on blocking ICE agents, first, I don't think they could do that. But second, it would be a very bad idea, in my opinion, because we do need to keep track of the borders. We do need to work on a more efficient processing of work permits and immigration. People that do want to immigrate, if there's no reason not to let them in, we should let them in my opinion, because they add a lot. We are, in fact, having trouble on the other side in Alaska. Alaska, for quite a few years, has been having difficulty attracting teachers, and particularly in the bush villages. And that has worked out well. I have received several good reports of teachers coming in from the Philippines who are willing to stay and work in the villages, but they are running into work permit problems with the J-1 visa is limited to 3 years, and they're here for 3 years, and just about the time they get established, they have to leave. So that's an example of something that we need to fix on our immigration policies. And I hear the music in the background, and that means that we are coming to the end of the show, and the satellite is taking over, so we will see you tomorrow. Thank you for listening.
California plans to keep fighting. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. As the Supreme Court clears the way for immigration raids to resume in L.A., Governor Gavin Newsom says every person is now a target in a written statement, calling the Supreme Court majority the, quote, grand marshal for a parade of racial terror in Los Angeles. U.S. Attorney Bill Esaley says federal agents are enforcing